Today we begin a four-part sermon series titled Disciples Living as Grace-Filled Stewards. Now, that's a bit of a mouthful, so as we begin the series, I thought I would take some time to unpack a couple of those big terms. See, there are two big words that describe us as God's people. The first of those words is the word disciple, or disciples. The word disciple in Greek is mathetes. It literally means a learner, but it's a very specific type of learning. It's not so much the kind of learning we think about of a student sitting in a classroom taking notes. It's much more sort of the apprenticeship style type of learning, where a mathetes, a disciple, would apprentice himself to a rabbi, a teacher. And for a number of years, that disciple would follow right on behind the rabbi, seeking in every way to become like that rabbi. Whatever the rabbi did, the disciple did. However he walked, the disciple walked. Wherever he went, however he ate, the disciple was right there side by side. There's a story told of a Jewish rabbi who would walk along the road, and if he would come to a pool of water, he might just jump into that pool of water fully clothed, and all of his disciples were expected, without hesitation, without question, to jump into that lake right after them. They wanted to be exactly like their rabbi. One of the Jewish phrases to describe this relationship was the phrase, "Let his dust be upon us." What does that mean? Well, if you've ever been in a tour group, you know that if you're in a large tour group and you're at the front of that tour group, you can hear every word that the tour guide is saying. But if you are towards the back of that tour group, you may only be hearing every third or fourth word that the tour guide is saying. And so if you're going to be a good disciple, as part of this group of disciples following after the rabbi, you want to be following right behind the rabbi so that you can hear everything he was saying so close behind him that as he's walking along and he's kicking up dust from his sandals, that dust is landing on you. You want to hear everything the rabbi is saying. You want to learn and become like the rabbi in every way. And so for us, the word disciple is all about following our rabbi, Jesus, learning from him, learning to be like him. We talk here a lot about discipleship. We talk about being a community following Jesus. We talk about intentional disciple formation, not just going about the routines of church and doing the things that we've always done because that's the way we've always done it. But instead of asking ourselves, is this helping me become more like Jesus? And so discipleship for us brings up ideas of being in worship like this, being in a Bible study, reading the Word on our own, gathering with other brothers and sisters in Christ to pray so we can learn more and more what it means to follow after Jesus and look like Him. And so discipleship is this relationship word for us, relationship with Jesus. And it carries with it these connotations that are sort of warm and fuzzy, getting together with Jesus and with good friends. Then comes the second big word, stewards. A steward and the related word stewardship do not have the same kind of warm and fuzzy connotations. In fact, the connotations are decidedly negative. Now, the word steward comes from the Old English word stiweird, the keeper of the sty, the home or the household. A steward in Old English was one who was the highest servant in the estate of a wealthy landowner, and that servant was entrusted with the duty of running the day-to-day affairs of the household. He didn't own anything, but everything his master owned was entrusted to his care and was to be used to accomplish the master's purposes and advance his estate. It was a position of high honor and privilege, but it was a position of service to the Lord who was being served. And so for us, the idea of stewards and stewardship means that we recognize that we are servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, God in heaven, who has entrusted all of these things to us, all that we have, all that we are, our minds, our bodies, our possessions, our ability to think and to work and to do and to create anything else for ourselves, all of those things are gifts given to us by our Heavenly Father, entrusted to us for His purposes, for the purpose of serving others. That's what stewardship is all about. But as I said, stewardship has this decidedly negative connotation. And if you were to boil the ideas of stewardship down to one word, in the minds of most people, that word would be money. Gimme, gimme, gimme. The church is always after my money. Why do we have to talk about this stuff, Pastor? The ideas of stewardship are the connotation is so negative that many capital stewardship advisors have given up on even using the language of stewardship. It just has too much negative baggage. And instead, they talk in the language of generosity. Many of you have seen those Thrivent shirts that we wear at a variety of our church functions. Live generously, right? And there's some great value in that idea, this idea that we want to live generous, and there's joy in living generously. It's a beautiful idea, and it's part of what it means. But I'm not yet ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater and give up on this idea of stewardship either, because there's some great value for us in that word as well. But to hear that word steward and stewardship in the proper context, to hear it separate out from those negative connotations, we need to hear it in connection with another word. See, there's a third big word that describes us as God's people. That word is image bearers. Image bearers. If we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, as God creates the world, He creates the world in 6 days, and then the last day of creation, His last act of creation is to create you and me, people. People made, created in His image. Unique among all of the different things, all the plants and animals and everything else that God created. Humanity alone is created in the image of God. We bear God's image to the rest of creation. Our job is to represent God to creation, to care for creation, to work creation, to steward over creation. We were created in the image of God, His crown jewel of creation. What an incredible gift that is. But coming on the heels of Genesis 1 is Genesis 3. The story of the fall into sin, and this beautiful, perfect image of God that you and I are created in becomes broken, twisted, and mangled by the fall. The old Latin phrase, curvatus in se, means we are curved in on ourselves, and that's what happens in sin and in the fall, is instead of bearing the image of God and looking out towards creation and how we can serve each other and serve creation, instead we become curved in and focused on ourselves. How can I serve me, me, me? And this beautiful image of God is distorted, twisted, and broken. But our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, who loves us so much that He was willing to create us in His image, is not willing to give up on us. And so He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live among us, to make His dwelling among us, as John says in the beginning of his gospel, to make God's love known to us, to explain who the Father is, to show us again what the image of God is supposed to look like. And then Jesus, as He lives His life, He goes to the cross where He gives up His life and He dies and He's buried in the tomb. And then on the third day, He's raised to new life. The Bible says that all of us who are baptized into Christ are baptized into His death so that this old distorted image of God is put to death in us. And so that as He is raised to new life, so you and I are also raised to new life. And this image of God is recreated in us. Power of God, we are reformed into the people we were always meant to be, enabled to live out the life that God always intended for us to live, recreated in the image of God, to serve Him, to live into this fullness of life. And so, As we follow Jesus, he sets us free to be who we were meant to be. Discipleship and following Jesus and stewardship, stewarding all of these things that have been entrusted to us, it's all about living into the fullness of life that God has given to us. It's not this extra set of rules and regulations. You can live your life, and then if you really feel like now there's this extra set of things dumped on top of you to be a disciple, and this extra set of things dumped on top of you to be his steward. No. As we live into the fullness of the image of God, we are living into this life of discipleship, living into this life of stewardship, living into the fullness of who God creates us to be. That's what's going on in our text today. Jesus is talking with a group of Jews who John says had believed in him. They had some sort of belief in him, but if you continue a few verses after our passage, you see that they begin to fall away. They didn't fully grasp who he was. So Jesus is talking with this group of Jews who had believed in him, and he says to them, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free, they counter. We're descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves of anyone. Which is a statement false on so many levels. It's almost funny, right? I mean, the descendants of Abraham were the ones who followed Joseph into Egypt and set up life there, only to be enslaved by Pharaoh many years later and need to be rescued by God and Moses in the Exodus and led out of there into the Promised Land. Except when they get to the Promised Land, now they're surrounded by the Philistines who oppressed them and enslaved them for many years during the time of the Judges. And they finally succeed and drive them out, and they establish the Davidic kingdom. But then soon after that come the Assyrians, who are oppressing them and capturing them and carrying them off into slavery. And then the Babylonians, who overthrow Jerusalem and capture them and carry them off into slavery. And then after many years, they're set free, and they come back into Jerusalem, into their promised land. But now they're living under the rule of the Romans, and they can't wait for this promised Messiah to come and kick out the Romans and set them free. Oh, but no, they've never been slaves of anyone, right? And yet Jesus isn't even talking about slavery on that level. That's nothing compared to the real slavery they're in, the slavery to sin. They're slaves to sin. They're slaves to trying to prove themselves right in God's sight by their actions and by their deeds and by their rules and by their regulations and all these different things. And sin promises freedom. Sin promises if you can do these things, then you'll be all right. Sin promises that you can live this way and things will be great. Sin promises fulfillment, but it leaves us feeling empty. Sin promises us the freedom to choose to do whatever we want, but those choices end up leaving us feeling empty inside. It promises an increased life, and instead sin always ends up by diminishing life. We end up a slave to our own desires, a slave to always chasing after the next high, a slave to always focusing on me, 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 and what I want, a slave to this hole inside of us that nothing can fill up except the presence of the God who created us. And so Jesus calls us to turn back to him, to remain, to abide in him, in his word. And as we abide in him, he sets us free by his grace. It's a grace that says you don't have to do anything to prove yourself or to earn God's love. He already loves you as his child, as his creation, and he is never going to leave you or forsake you or abandon you. It's a grace that says you don't have to make up for your sins and your wrongs. They're already covered by the cross. It's a grace that says you have been invited into this relationship with a God who created you and loves you and redeems you. A God who is reforming you into his image, reforming you into the person that you were meant to be, this beautiful jewel of creation. And discipleship is all about this relationship with Jesus. It's all about coming into this relationship. And we're called not to just learn some facts about the Bible, not to just memorize some Bible verses, but to become like Jesus, to allow the image of God in us to be recreated and reformed after the pattern of Jesus. so that we become who he intended for us to be. As disciples, we study the scriptures to learn how God created and what he wants for us, how he designed us to fit into his world. And then as stewards, we live into this identity. We live out what God desires for us. Live into the life we're intended. There's a story told of Martin Luther as he's sort of just come out of the Catholic Church, and he's talking to this group of monks who have just come out of the Catholic Church, and he's explaining what grace is, and he says to them, you can do whatever it is you want to do. And these monks who've been living this cloistered, tightly constricted life, like, really? We can do anything? You can think about all the sort of unhealthy thoughts they're maybe beginning to think. And Luther says, yes, you can do whatever you want to do, but as a child of God, what do you want to do? That's what we're learning in discipleship. What does it mean to live into this fullness of life? And then stewardship is all about us living into that life, living this life that God designed for us to create, living as stewards, living into those who recognize the right relationship with God, who recognize all the gifts that have been entrusted to us, who recognize that we are free to use those things to serve others. See, when we recognize that we're free from having to prove ourselves, recognize that we're free from having to make up for the things that we've done wrong, free from the need to justify ourselves, that everything that we need has been covered by Jesus and given to us, then we're free to be the people he created us to be. We are free to serve others. We're free to care for others, to love them, to show them the grace that has been given to us. And so as stewards, we live into this fullness of who we were meant to be, serving others as God designed us to be. Fullness of life. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. As disciples and as stewards, you are set free to live into the fullness of who God created you to be. So remain in him and rejoice in his freedom. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Please stand.